Kindalach, we are now about to hear the long-awaited part two of the story of the Kleyokar. But before we begin, let us chazer over what happened until now. Our story began with a man by the name of Reb Aaron. And Reb Aaron was locked into the Poritz's, the Duke's jail in a pit.
Now let's take another one of these that we don't feed. Oh, right here, of course. This is my dear friend, the Jew, Aaron. Rabbi Aaron, to be correct. That's right, you see him, that pitiful soul down there, and he's got his wife there too. But I can't keep talking, you know, I have business to attend, so I will leave you now, Peter.
In that pit, he remains alive because the night watchman brings him food and water.
And so, Kindalach, for a number of days, Peter would come on the night shift. And every time he came, he took a look down into Reb Aaron's pit, and there he was again, singing his tillim and very happy. And finally, after a couple of days, Peter bent down by the pit.
Reb Aaron, you know, I'm getting quite impressed with you. To be so happy in such a miserable situation. I mean, I'm the night watchman, and I get miserable from being in this surrounding. How you keep such a great attitude to me is unbelievable. You must be a holy person. Now come here. Come close. I want to tell you something. I see that you're very special, and therefore, from now on, I'm going to make sure that you don't perish in this pit. Late at night, when nobody is watching and none of the other prisoners can hear anything, I will lower down on this rope bread and water. But you must promise to me, you must promise that you'll never tell anyone that I did this. Because if the Duke ever finds out, he will definitely kill me. Do you hear what I said?
Eventually, in that pit, Reb Aaron will have a little baby, and he will name him Shloime Ephraim. When the Duke finds out about the fact that he has a little baby, the Duke comes and steals the baby from him.
Now listen here. I don't know if you know or not, but I don't have any children. I'm gonna put you onto a horse together with your wife. And I want you to leave this country immediately. If I ever catch you on my lands, I will kill you. But you're leaving me that baby.
The baby grows up and the Duke teaches him how to play the harp. And he gets older and older. And finally, before his bar mitzvah, the boy begins to have dreams.
Finally, it was the week before his bar mitzvah. And this time, it started getting really real. The man would come to him in his dream, and he would begin to yell at him.
You're not listening to me! I'm telling you, I'm your father! You're throwing away your life! You're not a goy, you're a yid!
Eventually, Shloime Ephraim will go to the Maral Miprag, and the Maral will teach him how to become a yid.
My son, you're a yid. You're a Jew. You were stolen from your parents' home. The Duke, who you think is your father, kidnapped you and brought you up as a goy. You're not a goy, you're a yid, you're a heilig yid. And I will teach you the Torah.
But meanwhile, the Duke, when his son, Philip, who is really Shloime Ephraim, disappears, begins to look for him all over the countryside. And he cannot find him. Until one day, they come to a big forest, and in the forest he finds a kishefmacher, and the kishefmacher tells him that his Rebbe, the real big kishefmacher, will be able to tell the Duke where his son is. And the Duke goes to the big kishefmacher, who lives in a cave.
Oh, what do you do here? Are you looking perhaps for your boy?
Who are you? What do you know about my boys?
He's in the city of Prague, and that is where we can locate the boy. If you want to go, I will help you. That is, for a small price.
I pay anything for my boy. Name your price.
So together with the Kishefmacher, the Duke goes to the city of Prague, and they try to get Shloime Ephraim away from the Maharalmi Prague. And the Kishefmacher with his Kishef takes Shloime Ephraim away, but the Maharal in the last minute saves Shloime Ephraim from the hands of the Duke. But being that the Yetzer Hara, the Sotan, so badly wants Shloime Ephraim, the Maharal Mi Prague decides that Shloime Ephraim should leave the city of Prague and he should go to the city of Presburg. He writes a letter for Shloime Ephraim to take to the Rosh Hashiva in the city of Presburg, and we will pick up the story now when the letter comes to the Rosh Hashiva in the city of Presburg. Let's listen in.
Welcome, Reb Shloime Ephraim. The Maharal's letter is very telling of the type of person you are. He seems to respect you quite a bit, and you're very welcome in our yeshiva. It would be our greatest pleasure to have you here with us.
And so Kindlech Shloime Ephraim continued where he had left off with the Maharal, and he began to learn in the yeshiva of Presburg. 1 month went by, 2 months. He was totally immersed in his learning. He learned mamish yoimim v'layla.
Marenu HaRosh Hashiva, I noticed that you've got some very outstanding bocharim here in the yeshiva. There's one particular bochur that has really caught my attention. It is my pleasure to request from you, perhaps you can allow me to act as his father. From what I understand, he hasn't got one, and I would love to support him and make sure that he has the clothes that he needs, the food that he needs, whatever else he might need. I'd love to be the supporter of this particular bacher. And which bacher do you speak of? That one right there in the corner, Shlomo Ephraim, I believe they call him.
Certainly, certainly, it would be my pleasure. He is a wonderful boy, a tremendous Talmud Chochem. It would be very nice if you could help him out with food, with clothing, or whatever else he might need.
Shalom Aleichem, my name is Baruch Shmuel. I would like, I spoke to the Rosh Hashiva about this already, and I would like to take you under my wing, financially that is, if there's anything you might need. And it would be my greatest honor if I could supply you with whatever you might need in Unione Agashmius, Ruchnius, of course, I don't come to your fingertips, but I would love to be of assistance to you if you ever need me.
Well, thank you very much. That's very nice of you to offer, and I'll know who to call on when the need arises. I really appreciate it.
And so the months went on, and Shloime Ephraim had where to go whenever he needed something. In Gashmias and in Ruchnias he sat, Loi posik pumimi girse, he did not stop learning day and night. However, one day, Shloime Ephraim began to feel a little sick. And it went on for a couple of days.
Shloime Ephraim, I've noticed, like, I can't help it. I try to look after you, and I happen to notice that you're looking a bit pale. You seem to be a little bit under the weather. It concerns me. And it's been going on for quite some time. And I noticed that it's bothering you in learning, and it really concerns me. And I would appreciate if you come over to my home. And I've called the best doctor in town, as you know. I'm one of the wealthiest citizens in this town. And I'd love to have that doctor take a look at you, if you don't mind, do some sort of examination.
And so Shloime Ephraim went to the home of Baruch Shmuel, the man who had taken him in under his wing. And the doctor was called upon, one of the best doctors in the country, to take a look at Shloime Ephraim. He did an exhaustive examination.
And he came to the conclusion that the reason why Shlomo Ephraim wasn't feeling well
was because you're spending a lot of time indoors. That is causing you to be very weak. The reason why you were getting up late and you have to go to sleep early is because the weakness is because you are indoors all the time. It would benefit greatly if you could spend some time in the outdoors, in the countryside, that is.
Well, of course, that would be a wonderful idea. Shlomo Ephraim, I have a wonderful coachman, and he has a wonderful coach. He will pick you up every single day from the yeshiva right after lunch, and he'll take you for a little ride in the coach, and he'll take you up to the countryside, and you can take a little walk near the woods there in the countryside. And so every day the coachman would come, he'd pick up Shlomo Ephraim after lunch, and he would take him up to the countryside, and he would open up the door, and Shlomo Ephraim would walk around near the woods. The pine trees were very healthy for him. And of course, when he walked around, he didn't think of Narishkeit, and he thought in learning. He was thinking about the Gemara, the Rashi, the Tosfos. And this went on for a couple of weeks. One day, as he was walking near the forest, he got so vertracht, he got so caught up in learning the Gemara that he was thinking about, that he started to wander into the forest. And he did not notice that he was going deeper and deeper into the forest. And it began to get darker. And he was going deeper, and he still didn't notice that he was going into the forest. Meanwhile, the coachman at the end of the forest figured that Shlomo Ephraim must have walked home. It wasn't that far away from town. So he got into the coach, and he took the horses and the coach back to Baruch Shmuel's house. No one knew that Shlomo Ephraim was missing. Baruch Shmuel thought he was in the yeshiva. The people in the yeshiva thought that he was at Baruch Shmuel, and no one knew he was missing. Meanwhile, Shlomo Ephraim was going deeper into the forest, not knowing. He's thinking about the Rashi, the Tosfos, the Kasha, back and forth in his head. He's going through, and it's getting darker and darker, and all of a sudden, night begins to fall. All of a sudden, Shlomo Ephraim opened up his eyes. He stops learning, and all of a sudden, he looks around. Oy, Gewalt, where am I? Where am I? Wait, it's so dark. Where am I? He was not used to being alone in the forest. He had grown up in the Duke's house, and then he was Lahavdil under the tutelage of the Maral, and now under the Rosh Hashiva and Baruch Shmuel. He never was alone like this without someone watching him, and he was very, very frightened. He looked around. He had no idea where he was and how to get out of this huge, giant, forbidding woods. And from all sides, he can hear the animals, and he really started getting frightened. His heart was pounding. Hey, Rabbeinu Shloilem, oh, please help me get out of here. Oh, Rabbeinu Shloilem. And this went on for 1 hour, another hour. Finally, after a couple hours, he was walking deeper and deeper into the woods. All of a sudden, in the middle of the woods, in the moonlight, he sees an old man off in the distance, far away on the other side of the woods. He was a little bit nervous, but he started going towards the man, and he called out, excuse me, I'm lost.
You're lost? Come over here, let me see you. Come over here.
Shlomo Ephraim walked closer and closer.
Oh, you're a fine young man. What are you doing in the forest so late at night? All by yourself, it could be very dangerous.
Well, I'm a bocher in the yeshiva, and I used to go like on little walks, and I wandered into the forest, and apparently I got lost.
Oh, you got lost in the forest. Oh, that's terrible. Let me tell you, there is a reason why you got lost in the forest. There is a reason. The Kulchus Atume, they want you. They are trying to draw you near them, and you must be able to fight them.
Who are you?
It is not important who I am, but listen very closely to what I'm about to tell you. It's terribly important. You see, I will take my staff here, and I will draw a circle here in the ground, in the sand. And I want you to go into that circle over there, and I want you to stand there. And I want you to know what's going to happen over the next couple of hours. How do you know what's going to happen? Don't ask me how I'm going to know, just trust me. Now listen very closely. The Sultan wants you very badly. And what he's going to do is going to send three groups of Malochim to try to snatch you into his net. But you must fight and make sure that this doesn't happen. Stand inside of this circle and think you're learning the entire time. No matter how much these groups try to distract you from learning, keep on thinking and learning so they should not be able to get through to you. Because the moment you stop learning, they will get you. You must be very careful. You should have great hatzloche. I must go now.
But wait, don't leave me here.
You must pass this test, Shloimeh Efrain.
How do you know my name?
I told you, don't ask me how I know. I know these things. Now stand in the circle and begin to learn the Gemara once again. Farewell.
Who was that man? Malachim, what? Okay, let me think of learning. Let me think. Yes, the Gemara. And Kindlech, he started immersing himself in the Mehadas, deeper and deeper into the learning. He started delving into the Tifkite of the Torah. Kindlech, you have no idea what kind of geschmack it is to choose a Harayin and a Gemara and a Tosfos and a Rashi. We should all be as lucky as Shloimeh Efrain to appreciate the geschmack. How do you appreciate the geschmack, Kindlech? You sit and you harv in learning. You put in the hours. You learn as if it's a daft design, and then the Rebbeinu Shloilem helps. V'harev no Hashem Elokeinu as divrei shiros kobefinu. The Rebbeinu Shloilem makes the Torah sweet like honey. And there's nothing more geschmack than a shtickel Gemara. There's nothing more geschmack than a posik chumish. This is what life is all about, and that's exactly what Shloimeh Efrain did. He threw himself into the Gemara. He threw himself into the Tosfos. 1 hour went by, another hour went by. He was deep, a rangaton in learning. He was being oiker harm, ripping out mountains as he was digging into the Gemara and the Rashi and the Tosfos. Kindlech, there's no bigger geschmack. There's no bigger geschmack. You can never forget that. The best fun in the world is a shtickel Torah. It's a machaya. It's a machaya. All of a sudden, from the distance, he can hear.
Tomorrow you're gonna die anyway. Have a good time. Ash fresh pizza and ice cream.
Yes, Kindlech, this wagon was full of Malochim. From the Sutton, from the Yetzer Hara, dressed like people, and they were telling Shloimeh Efrain what the Sutton always tells us. And the Sutton tells us that we should have fun. We should ess, we should fress. And we shouldn't learn Torah. I'm not saying, Kindlech, that you're not supposed to have fun. Of course, the Rebbeinu Shloilem gave you good food, so you should enjoy it. The Rebbeinu Shloilem gave you good games to enjoy it and to have a good time. But you have to know that all this, that fun that you have, the games and the eating, is only to make you learn. Why, Kindlech? Because the real fun is learning. The real fun is doing mitzvahs and deining the Eibishter. Why was a person created, Kindle? Why did Hashem make you? You know why Hashem made you? He made you so you should have fun. Lo nivro ha'odom elo li'sanagal Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam loves doing good things. That's why he made you, to do good things to you and make you have fun. But the real fun, Kindle, the emes of fun, is to do Torah and mitzvahs. That's the real fun, Lis Anagal Hashem. To have anah from the Eibishter. Not to fress and to play games like a goy all day long. That's what a goy says. Eat, drink, be merry. That's what these malachim were trying to tell Shlomo Ephraim. Leave the Gemara. Come join us. You'll never have a better time than if you join us. Get out of that circle there. But Shlomo Ephraim Kindelach, he would not budge. He sat and did not take his concentration off the Torah for 1 second. Moshcheu lebeis ha-medrash, when that Yetzer Hara tries to get you to do an avera, right away schlep him into the beis ha-medrash. Sit and learn behis lahavas. And they tried and they tried, but they couldn't. They couldn't break through, and so their carriage, their coach left. A little while later, all of a sudden, Shlomo Ephraim heard from the distance again a tumult and a rash. And as the loud noise got closer and closer, he heard people talking again. And again, these were Malachim of the Sotan.
Oh, look at that young man there. He would be perfect to join us. Come, young lad, why don't you join us? Take a look at all the riches we've got here in our wagon. Look at all this gold, the silver, everything that you can imagine. All the wonderful money in the world. That's what life is all about. Money, money, money.
And yes, Kindelach, this was the son trying his next trick, trying to chap Shlomo Ephraim Arayin with the taiva for money, trying to catch him, trying to get him to run after money. Yes, Kindelach, some people, Nebach, get caught up and they think that money is what the world is all about. Chas v'sholem. Well, money is a fine thing, but that's not what the Torah says is the world is all about. The world's about enjoying Torah and mitzvahs. Toivli Torah spicho me'alfei zovo kesef. The Torah is more geschmack than thousands and thousands gold and silver. The Torah is the real silver. What does money do for you? Money gets you whatever you want to buy, right? If you have Torah and mitzvahs, you don't have to buy anything. You have everything. Toivli Torah spicho me'alpei zovo kesef. No, you can't get that anger chapped in this trap of the Yetzer Hara. But Kindelach Shlomo Ephraim remained strong. He did not listen to a word that this malach, who was dressed like a person, was telling him. He knew it was a shaliach from the Yetzer Hara, and he kept on learning the Heilige Torah. He did not stop for 1 second. And finally, this malach that was dressed like a person took his wagon, his coach, and he left. And the time went by, and Shlomo Ephraim kept on learning the Heilige Torah. And around him all over, there were sounds of animals and different sounds of the forest, but he kept on learning. And not that long after, the biggest coach of them all, it was glistering and shining in the dark night. Bells were attached to it, was making a tremendous noise as it came riding up to Shlomo Ephraim.
What are you doing here in the middle of the forest? You must be lost. Well, come with me and I will show you how to get out of the forest. You are not listening to me. You must be afraid. You are learning your Torah. You think that this is the mitzvah to do, and that is to learn the Torah. Well, my friend, let me tell you, what you are doing is an avera. The real mitzvah is to come with me. You see here, my friend, I have a book. This book will show you how to get out of the forest. You have to read a little bit from this book. It will allow you to get out of the forest. It is dangerous to be in the forest. You read my book and you will know how to get out of the forest. Reading my book, that is a mitzvah. When you are staying where you are, this is an avera.
And yes, Kinderlich, this was the Satan himself, and he was using his strongest weapon. And that is Kinderlich trying to say that a mitzvah is an aveira and aveira is a mitzvah. Sometimes this happens to us. We think what we're doing is a mitzvah and really it's an aveira. And we think that aveira is really a mitzvah. That's why, Kinderlich, you must have a Rebbe. A Rebbe has Das Torah, and the Das Torah will tell you that you are living the right way or you're living the wrong way. We must have a Rebbe to teach us, because if not, the Satan can get a hold of us, and the Satan can red us ein, all type of narishkeiten. It says, V'hoser Satan milfoneinu me'achareinu. Rabbeinu Shlomim, take the Satan away in front of us, he's blocking us to do a mitzvah, me'achareinu. But keep the Satan away from behind us, because sometimes he gets behind us and he pushes us to do an aveira by telling us it's a mitzvah. We must be so careful to speak to the right people, to our Rabbein, to find out if we are doing is right or wrong. But Shlomo Ephraim remained strong, but the Satan didn't let go.
You are not listening to me. This is an avera. Let me read to you something from this book.
But Shlomo Ephraim stayed strong. He kept on learning the Heilige Torah. But now Kinderlich the Satan opened up the book, the Tumidah book, and he began to read the Tumidah things that it said in the book. Kinderlich, we have to be so careful with what we read. We must read Heilige Zach and Chas V'Cholila. If you read the wrong things, how it can hurt your neshama. If you look at the wrong things, Chas V'Sholem Kinderlich, how that can hurt your neshama. If you say the wrong things or listen to the wrong things, it can hurt your neshama. You have to be so careful. You're a Heilige Yid. You can't let any poison in from any which way. The Satan is always trying, and now the Satan began, and he's reading the book louder and louder, and Shlomo Ephraim is fighting, but he can't fight. And for 1 second, he stopped learning. He stopped thinking and learning for 1 second, and that's when the Satan jumped out of his coach and landed right in the middle of the circle.